In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, everybody talks about faith. I see this lady, she says, I have a lot of faith. But you see, faith is the substance. See, it has substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not like a wispy cloud. It is the substance. Now, when I was in school, we were taught verbs and objects of the verb, like Mary ate the candy, or Mary ate cake. The verb is ate. The object of the verb is cake. The object of the verb faith is Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The object of our faith is always Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I want to say that again. Faith is a verb, and the object of faith is Jesus Christ. I want to also tell you that from Genesis to Revelation, it says Jesus, Messiah, the Son of the Eternal Father, true God and true man. From Genesis to Revelation, ultimately it says Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm looking at the 11th chapter and the 17th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now I'm telling you, that was a trial. We're going to read that from the 22nd chapter of Genesis. From the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we're going to read it and see what God has to say through the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Now take your son, your only begotten son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land called Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, for a holocaust, for an oblation, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Now, God promised that the promise of Abraham becoming the father of many nations would come through Isaac. And now God tells Abraham to offer Isaac upon a mountain. Oh, I tell you, this was a great trial. This was a great trial. And the scripture says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac and his son, and a clave the wood and a burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Worship is always sacrifice. Worship is always sacrifice. Abraham thinks that Isaac is going to be the sacrifice. It only makes sense because all the Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites were offering their firstborn to the false gods. So this is the true God, and God says, offer Isaac. So it makes sense. Makes sense. It must have cost him a lot of anxiety. And Abraham said unto his young men, Stay here with the donkey. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, upon his shoulders,
It looks like Jesus. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, Father, and his father said, Here I am. He said, Behold the fire, behold the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb for the oblation? Oblation means a complete burnt offering. And Abraham said, My son, God himself will provide a lamb for the oblation, for the burnt offering, for the sacrifice. So they both went together. And they came to a place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order to, and bound Isaac his son, and laid Isaac on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here I am. He said, Lay not your hands upon the lad, neither do you do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son, the son of your love. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering, for an oblation, for a sacrifice instead of his son. Let me tell you this, my friends. All our Isaacs have to be put on the altar. Even though God promised us Isaac, we have to put all Isaacs on the altar. And God has the ability to either give it back to you or to take it away from you. All of our Isaacs must be put upon the altar. That's a very difficult thing. It was very difficult for Abraham. But let me tell you, God showed Abraham a couple of things. First thing he showed him was, I do not want the blood of children, not like the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites. I wanted your obedience. And from now on, never offer children for a holocaust, for an oblation, for a burnt offering. Even though all the Hittites, Jebusites, and all the other ites did it, my people will never offer blood offerings of children. So it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. What was the promise? That through Isaac there would be many people, as many as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from whence also he receives him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones, that his bones would be brought back to Palestine, to Israel. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a proper boy child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Remember, the king's commandment was to kill every boy child. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Remember, Pharaoh's daughter brought him up. By faith Moses, then he was come to age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with his people, the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin
for a season. You see, he could have been like a prince because he is Pharaoh's daughter, or Pharaoh's son. I'm sorry. He is Pharaoh's daughter's son. Yes, he is Pharaoh's daughter's son. And he could have been raised as a prince, but he chose his own people, and he chose his people that he would suffer with them, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he gave his faith to the one true God who is invisible, and he joined his people. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed and the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. I want to talk about the Red Sea. It was by faith, but Moses had to do something. He had to declare that the sea would open. He had to make a declaration that the sea would open as he raised his hands. He had to declare it. He just didn't just see it happen. He declared it by the word of God. The sea must open, and the Israelites went through the sea dry shod by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, and the Egyptians were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with him that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. We remember Rahab the prostitute, the harlot. She hid the two people from whoever. And what shall I say more? I should Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of faith, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, valiant in flight and in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. People died, and they were buried, because they were going to receive a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yes, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all obtained a good report through faith. They received not the promise. What was the promise? Jesus Christ. They received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. For us, what is the better thing? It's Jesus Christ. That they, the people of the Old Testament, without us, should not be made perfect. That they, the people of the Old Testament, without us, should not be made perfect. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The object of faith is Jesus Christ. It is not the gifts of the Spirit. It is not the church. It is Jesus Christ. Our eyes must be fixed upon Jesus. And God, having provided something better for us who have received Jesus, that without us,
they should not be made perfect, that the Old Testament people should not remain perfect. Why? Because they never saw the promise. They never saw the ultimate promise. And the ultimate promise was Jesus Christ. That's why we are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And then the scripture says in chapter 12, seeing that we are also encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses that I just spoke about, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Where are we running to? You know, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's where we're running to, and we're running with, and we're running for, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Who is the joy that was set before Jesus? You and I. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You and I were his joy, that he did it for us. He did it for us, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of God. And he sat down at the right hand of God. I'm going to read now from last week's readings. They're from Luke 12. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. How many churches are on fire? Is my church on fire? Is your church on fire? Jesus came to set the earth on fire, that the churches would be set on fire. He says, there is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. What is the anguish? The anguish is that his joy, us, would receive forgiveness of sins. That is his anguish. His anguish is not the cross. His anguish is that the joy that is set before him would come rapidly, because he died for us. He died for you. He died for me. If you think God doesn't love you, then look at the crucifix. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. Let's continue. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he was naked, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him. How do we consider him? How do we consider Jesus? I tell you, by looking at the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and it says, who has believed our report? We're considering Jesus. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that should desire him. This is about his crucifixion. Consider him. There was no beauty in Jesus. He was completely like a raw piece of meat. He is despised and rejected of men. Consider Jesus. A man of sorrows. Consider Jesus. Acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I once had a vision of the crucifixion, and I hid my face from it, because on Jesus Christ there were like a multitude of flies that had gathered around his blood. I just hid my face from him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, your griefs, carried our sorrows, your sorrows, my sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He, consider Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He, consider Jesus, was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. We were healed by his stripes. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. All we, like sheep, had gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But God did not require of Abraham, God required of his own son. He is the lamb. He is the lamb that sheds his blood for us, because each one of us have gone our own way. He was afflicted and oppressed. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare this generation? This is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. All you Jewish people who listen to me, go to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah saw the whole experience of the crucifixion. He saw it in the spirit, and he put it down. I'm telling you, this is the suffering servant of Israel, the suffering servant of Yahweh. And he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When you shalt make his soul a sin offering, he shall see his seed, you and I. He shall prolong his days through us, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. The travail of his soul. On the cross, Jesus drew all men and women unto himself. He was like a woman giving birth to us as we were drawn into his heart. He says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. All men unto myself. Consider Jesus, please. Consider Jesus. Read Isaiah 53. Read Psalm 22. Consider Jesus. In his weakness, he gained for God a new people, the people called the church. But our faith is in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Please, please consider Jesus today. Read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and the 22nd chapter of Psalms. Consider Jesus, that he died for you, that he died for me, that he gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. By his stripes we were healed. That's where healing comes from the blood of Jesus, from the precious blood of Jesus. Blessed be the blood of Jesus. Praise be the precious blood of Jesus. Blessed be Jesus who became sacrifice for our sins. Blessed be Jesus Christ who became an oblation, totally burnt by the love of God for us. He gained a new people. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Consider Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.